Hey there, do you dream of escaping into a book? Maybe your escape includes a cozy cabin in the mountains or a magical town along the coast. Either way, you're in the right place. Welcome to Literary Escapes with me, Becky. This year on the podcast, we're exploring the United States. So every week I'm going to bring you a new book set in a different state. So let's see where we're going today.
So welcome back to the Literary Escapes podcast. I am Becky, and I am actually not your host today. I am the guest. I couldn't figure out a way that I could talk to myself and not make it weird. So today I have a special host for you. Sheila is going to be interviewing me because it's my week in the book club. So Sheila, take it away.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on here. It's been a little while.
So, Becky, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So, Becky Lee is our Fearless Book Club leader, and she is also the author for the week. This week, we are headed to Tennessee.
We are.
So, very exciting. So, my first question is, you're a Florida girl.
I am.
So, why did you choose Tennessee?
Yeah, it's funny because it would make sense to write a book like where I live, or maybe even like where I've been before. And when the idea came to me, I had not been to Tennessee before. I've been through it several times. And so I'd had dinner there, you know, that kind of thing, but I've never like been to Tennessee. And so when the idea came to me, I'm like, oh, I got this. You know, I've been through there before. I know the state. And so I wrote the whole first book, Finding Dolly. And thankfully, my husband and I decided it was time for a research trip. And we went and visited Nashville, which is where the book is set. And oh, my gosh, I had so much wrong. I'm so glad we went there. It was yeah, it was not good. It would not have been good if we had not gone there, because the whole downtown area had a completely different feel than what I had envisioned in my head. And the riverfront area, again, had a completely different feel than what I had in my head. And the Cumberland River is a working river. And so there's freighters going along there all the time. And it doesn't have this pretty waterfront with all these cute little shops looking out over this lovely river. It's got freighters going back and forth. And so our place that we stayed was right on the river-ish. And I'm like, So I don't think it's a big deal, at least in this stretch of the Cumberland, to be living like on the water, because it's not like people don't have docks and they don't go fishing on their docks. They don't, you know, there's not little cafes hanging out over the water, which is what I had pictured in my head.
Right.
So it just, the story came to me and it needed to be Tennessee because Dolly Parton's in it.
Right. Which, and I happen to love that about the book.
Yes. I love Dolly. I just saw today that she and Pitbull came out with a song. Oh my gosh. It's hysterical. So it kind of needed to be where Dolly was. And that was why it's in Tennessee and why it's in Nashville. So.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. So what you're saying is the Nashville city planner should have consulted you first before they made their downtown.
See, that would have made a lot of sense.
You're like, what if instead?
You've got this all wrong.
What we need here are some cute cafes.
Exactly. It's funny because I love Nashville, and my husband and I, when we were there, it was like, you know, this is one of the few places I could actually see myself living. The people were super nice. It has hills. I mean, in Florida, we kind of make jokes that we have hills. Right. They have hills. My husband's a jogger and I go walking, and like every day it's like, oh my gosh, I am so out of shape for hills.
Right.
And yeah, just it was fall when we were there. And so we actually got to see leaves changing color, which in Florida they don't, at
Right, yeah,
least
I'm
not
sure.
until like February. So it was so cool to actually have a fall and a beautiful area. And yeah, it was really, really neat.
So fun. So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I like, and I know you also like it when you have a good sense of place in a book.
Yes.
So it's good that you went there
It is
so
good
that
that
we
I went
have the
there.
actual sense of we
Yeah.
got the real Nashville in Finding Dolly.
Exactly. I had been to Pigeon Forge before and Dollywood. And so that piece I was comfortable with. Although the Dolly Museum that was there was closed when we went up this time and they're redoing it. So I have no idea what it's going to look like when they reopen it. So that piece will be dated. But the rest of it, like the cinnamon bread, have you been to Dollywood?
I have not. We actually were planning a trip in April to drive down to Texas, driving through Texas, and we were going to stop in Pigeon Forge in Dolly's area.
Yeah.
But my husband said that he found out that the museum was closed and it wasn't opening again. And he's like, I know you're going to want to see the museum. So we're just
Yeah.
not going to stop this time. We're going to save that for a future trip.
Yeah, I was so disappointed because I had all these questions that I needed to get answered and I couldn't do it. So,
Yeah, I think in May it's supposed to be open, maybe. So we're just
okay.
missing it this
Oh,
time.
that's too bad. Yeah, that's fun.
So
But the cinnamon bread is worth the trip.
we'll have
They
to
have this
keep that
place
in
called
mind.
the Grist Mill. And I remember this. My daughter and I went, she was in some singing group, and we went, I mean, she had to have been in upper elementary, maybe middle school. And so I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe more. And I could still remember the cinnamon bread. And everybody that goes, they're like, oh my gosh, did you try the cinnamon bread? Yeah,
That's the thing.
it's that good. So
I
if you happen to be going through Dollywood, definitely get the cinnamon bread.
will make a note.
Yeah. And being able to sit around and listen to all the different musical acts that she's got going on is really cool. And even if you like rides, there's all of that. I've never actually been on any of the rides there because we just sat and listened to music and did some of the, I don't know what they call it, but like the frontier area or something. But that was enough to keep us entertained. So,
Right. I
yeah.
know. I really want to go to the museum, so I guess it's good we're saving that for the future visit.
Yeah. I
Plus,
can't
that
wait to hear
keeps
about it.
another visit on the docket. Like, we have to go back because.
Exactly. Gotta go. Gotta go see Dolly. And I hear that at certain times of the year, she opens it up. She like rides in her little buggy and is the, like, there's like this little Dolly parade and she goes through the park saying hey to everybody. And yeah, so that'd be fun to see.
Fun. That would be good. All right. So we usually ask the authors about how they started writing, but I want to add to that question
Okay.
because those of us OG book club members who have been with you
Yeah.
since the beginning have
Yeah.
been watching your writing journey. So part of my question is, would you have started writing if you hadn't started your book club first?
Ooh, that's a really good question, and I probably not. It wasn't on my horizon. And because of the book club and the podcast, I've talked to over 100 authors and I've heard their stories. I've heard, and there's so many different ways that people come to be an author. And I don't know that I would have even considered it if I hadn't known all of that.
Right, they make it sound possible. You're like, oh, well,
Yeah.
actually,
Well, and that's, I
maybe.
mean, I've talked to people in the book club. We've talked to people who, they've been lawyers or teachers or nurses or, all of these, most of them, I think a few that we've talked to have actually had like an MFA with creative writing as kind of their backbone, but most of them not. So that's, you know, if anybody wants to be a writer, that's it's encouraging because you don't have to be.
Right.
Yeah. Right. There's people who started out doing something completely different and it works out quite nicely for them. So,
right. And some people have been writing forever and some people, yeah, don't even start until later. They yeah. just one day they wake up and they're like, you know what?
Yeah, I got this.
It's time. Today's the day.
And great. Here I am almost 5 books later. It's like, ah.
Wow, look at that.
Exactly.
All right. So spill the beans. What sorts of jobs have you had before Ooh. Becoming an author?
So I did the normal working in restaurants when I was in high school and was not very good at it. I have a high respect for people who do that job. Kitchen, I worked in dishes. I worked in serving food, you know, all of it. I did, except for cooking. I didn't do that. but I have a high respect for the people in the restaurant industry because it is a lot of work. So thankfully I moved on from that. And I worked for the airlines for several years and I was not a flight attendant. I was in operations. And so I was the one that did the weight and balance on the plane, talked to the pilots on the radio, made sure that they had their fuel, all of that kind of stuff, which is a little scary looking back on it. But I didn't have anything happen over my tenure. So that was all good. And that really started my love of travel and love of exploring places, especially places in books. Then I got my degree in teaching, didn't teach. Went into sales. And then I did, when I became a mom, I did a lot of volunteer work in libraries. And then when the kids were both in school, I wound up working in a library for a little while, elementary school library. Fun. And I had originally thought that if I ever wrote a book, it would be a kid's book. And I, you know, had several ideas flit in and out of my head, but didn't have the courage, I think, at that time to actually write any of them down.
Right. So, well, and I feel like there's a level of difficulty to children's books just because it includes the illustrations. So,
yeah,
either you, if you are capable, or else you have to find an illustrator. That's like a whole nother
step. That's a whole nother level. Yeah.
Versus I can write a book, publish the book, and you know, you mm-hmm. need a cover, but you know, other than that, you just need words.
Right. Right. And I was thinking like chapter books, you know, like the short mm-hmm. chapter books.
Right.
But even then, you have to capture an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old. You have to capture their attention, which,
right.
you know, yeah. if you've had kids, you know, you know.
You might get it, but you could have a hard time keeping it too.
Yeah. And to get them, you know, to want to read the right. book and then the next book and then the next book. And I have such high respect for these authors that come up with these super clever, fun ideas for kids to read. And
right.
so fun.
Very cool. All right. So tell us a little bit about your book, Finding Dolly, and then the whole series, I guess. Go ahead. Tell sure. us the whole series.
Sure. Well, the Finding Dolly is the one that came to me first. Some people write the kind of a prequel first that leads into the series, but that one didn't come first to me. Finding Dolly did. And I was kind of woken up in the middle of the night with an idea for this young woman who had lost her mom and finds out after the fact all of these things about her mom that she never knew. She always felt like her relationship with her mom was a challenge. And then, you know, her mom had dementia and had passed away from that. So there was a lot of things that were left unsaid. And so she gets this mission from her mother to find Dolly. And her mom doesn't say Dolly who, and the assumption is it's Dolly Parton because her mother was a huge Dolly Parton fanatic. And so she goes to Nashville where her mother had lived and to close out her apartment. and she's expecting it to be, you know, a little condo, and it's a penthouse in downtown Nashville. And so that's the first shock. Oh my gosh, how did she afford this $1 million penthouse in downtown Nashville? And so there's all these secrets that are unraveled in the story that she finds out about her mom. And I don't want to spoil any of them because they're a lot of fun. But in the process of learning some of these things about her mom, she meets a man who was a good friend of her mom's. He's a young guy about Grace's age, Carl. And Carl agrees to help her find Dolly. And so he takes her around Nashville. He takes her to Pigeon Forge, and they are on the hunt for Dolly. And she decides that, okay, it's probably not Dolly, like actually finding Dolly. Maybe there's some like lesson that I'm supposed to learn from Dolly. And so she goes through, you know, we get all of these fun Dolly quotes at the beginning of the chapters, and she learns all these interesting things by visiting the different Dolly parts. And in the process, learns a lot about herself, learns a lot about her mother, and becomes a more confident, stronger woman in the end because of Dolly. And so because of her mom. So that is book number one, Finding Dolly. And her best friend, Brina, is with her through all of this. And Brina is book number two. And she decides to help out another friend by fake dating a guy. And that goes awry, of course. And
as it usually does.
It usually does. You can't go into a fake dating and expect it to not. So so that one is a lot of fun. And Brina is not looking for anything. And she is still, you know, because they've moved to Nashville, she's trying to figure out her, you know, what she wants to do and what that's going to look like. And falling in love was not on her agenda at all. And especially to this guy who's rude and obnoxious and, you know, just, yeah. So that's Brina and Gabe's story, and they're fun. And then Jillian's story, she's another friend that came, she's Carl's sister from book number one. So Jillian comes into the picture, and she's a cop, Nashville cop. And she recently got transferred to a small town, and it was based on Belmead because Belmead is a suburb of Nashville. It's gorgeous, but I didn't want to imply that there was anything wrong with Belmead's police department because I'm sure there's not. And so I made up a town, but it was based on Belmead because it was just such a pretty area. And I wanted the one that this story was in to be in that area. And so if you live in that area, you probably recognize that it's Belmead. Right. But I didn't want to imply anything about the police department. So Jillian loves being a cop and gets fired. And it turns out that the guy that gets her fired is the guy that she just got a date with. And so before they even go out on their first date, they've already broken up. And so that was a lot of fun because usually, you know, if an author puts a breakup in, it's usually like what they call a third act breakup. And so it's right near the end and they have to figure it out. This one's like in the first couple chapters, they're already broken up and they don't like each other. And so this one takes a completely different path in the storytelling. And Jillian is hired by Jackson's grandmother to help her with her bucket list. Jackson's the one who got her fired. Jackson's grandmother is legendary country singer Tessa Starr. And Tessa Starr has a lot of crazy ideas of what should be on her bucket list. And so it starts with wanting to be arrested. And that's why Jackson had her fired, is because she had the gall to arrest Tessa Starr. And so her bucket list is just crazy things and takes them to Washington, D.C. It takes them to Italy, Venice, Italy, and then back to Nashville. And so in the process, Jillian figures out what her bucket list is, and they do some of that. And so it's just a lot of fun. And again, there's some surprises in there of what's on the bucket list and how it comes out. And
I know you want to write a book set in Italy. So I noticed that Italy managed to make its way in. In an appearance in the Nashville book.
Yeah, it did. And I was going to, my next series was going to be in Italy, but my husband and I weren't able to get a research trip in until probably next year. So that one's going to have to be put off a little bit. So so the second series is going to stay in Nashville. So
excellent. Yeah. So Italy trip will just have to wait a little longer.
So we're working on getting points on Delta. We've got one ticket one ticket already. So we're working on ticket number two. So it's coming.
There will be a trip
to Italy.
There will
be an Italy book. Yes.
To go with your book.
That's right. I've laid the groundwork for it. So it's right. Coming.
Well, and you've proved to your husband how important the research is, because look what you got wrong about Nashville.
I know. We really got to go about Italy, for crying out loud.
So funny. Okay. So you like romance books, and you wrote romance books.
I do.
So what's your favorite love story?
I think my favorite love story, I've got a couple, but one of them is Sense and Sensibility, just because, you know, Jane Austen, and I enjoy her. And I think I like that one a little bit better than Pride and Prejudice, but just because I can relate to the sisters a little bit easier. But yeah, Sense and Sensibility is one of my favorites. And there's one by Nora Roberts. It's an old one. It's called The Villa. And it's set in, curiously enough, Italy and San Francisco. It's a wine family. And I like that one because it has romance. It has a little bit of suspense running through it. It's got family, you know, the generation of, you know, a couple generations of family. And it's got, you know, the love story. So those are two of the favorites that come to mind right off.
Nice. Well, and I feel like your books too do a good job of like having like a little bit of mystery or adventure. Mm-hmm. There's like more to it than just romance. Yeah. Romance is good, but there's a little more to it.
I have a hard time not doing that.
Right. That's good. I like it. So you should definitely keep doing it.
Sometimes the romance is like, do I have to put a romance in it? I guess if it's a romance, I probably do.
You need a little bit of romance.
Okay.
Okay. So you like to travel. You said you would like to live in Nashville. So this might be the answer, or maybe you would have a different answer. But if you could live anywhere on the planet, and you don't have to leave anything behind, like you can bring everything you love with you. So, because that's always right. I could move, but then I would miss anything you want to take with you can go with you.
Okay.
You can live anywhere. Where would you live?
You know, that's, it might be Spain, interestingly enough, because several years ago, we went to Spain, and that's, I feel like a book needs to be set there as well. And we visited the Madrid, which is kind of in the middle-ish of the country, and then made our way down to Seville and then down to the coast. And again, people were just so nice. You know, we were gringos. We didn't speak Spanish very well at all. But the people were really nice. And my husband, who speaks like no Spanish, he was able to go grocery shopping and get us fish and, you know, and so it was, they were willing to work with us. I've been to France before, and I didn't have that same connection with the people. I didn't feel like, and this was many years ago, probably 20 years ago. I would like to go back and have a different experience there. But Spain was just beautiful, and the food was good. The geography was gorgeous. So I would enjoy spending some time there.
Yeah, my husband and I went there for our anniversary like 8 years or so ago to Barcelona, and it was a good trip.
Yeah.
Nice
and then
there.
You're close enough to all these other countries that I really want to go to as well.
So really, you became an author so that you could get research trips.
I really need you guys to buy my books so I can afford my research trips.
Buy more books so she can go more places, so she can write more books for us.
So I can write more books. Yes. So I'm trying to figure out I want to do a series that travels around a lot, because I want to set a book in Iceland and Spain and Italy. You know, I want all these places, but I can't quite figure out how to make that happen. So that's
right.
That's ticking around in the brain here, trying to figure out how I can have that series and have it work. So,
right. Look forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right. So what are you currently writing? Like, where are you in your book writing process?
I'm currently writing the first book of the new series. The new series is called Nashville Billionaires, and they are going to be fairy tale retellings.
Ooh, I like fairy tale retellings.
Me too. And so the first one is an Aladdin retelling, and it's two characters that we met in book one from Finding Dolly. And so Brian, the doorman, and Chrissy, Carl's ex-girlfriend, are getting a story. And so it's kind of funny. So that one's been a lot of fun to figure out, and trying to fit some of the important pieces of Aladdin in without it being cheesy, I guess, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
like a subtle retelling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's funny because I would have made the names a little bit more Aladdin and Jasmine-ish, except they already had names and I couldn't change them. So Brian and Chrissy it is.
That's right. That's so funny. Well, maybe Brian's middle name is Aladdin. You don't know.
It's true. I don't know.
You can make it so. You're the author. You have the power.
His last name is Street.
Ah.
And so he's going to be called Street Rat. So that's how I got around it.
Nice. The plans come together.
Exactly. It's funny how the minds work. It's scary sometimes.
Too funny. All right. So what are you reading? Do you have time to read?
I just finished Carrie Evelyn's book, One Margarita. And I just finished it last night.
I have that one on my Kindle, but I haven't read it.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And it's a new series for her. And I'm looking forward to the next one. So, yeah. So that's what I just finished. And I don't know what I'm going to be reading next. I haven't even gotten there yet. So probably so whoever next week's author is, huh?
That's right. We have to stay caught up in the book. Excellent. So I don't have any other questions for you.
Awesome. Well, I am. If you'd like to join the book club, you are
welcome.
Please
do. It's lots of fun.
So. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Every week we visit a different state. We have a different book. We have a different author. And some authors join us in, we do a Zoom once a month. Sometimes the authors join us. Sometimes it's readers. We don't talk about the books, but we have books that are shared. The authors share about their state. So it's been a lot of fun. It's very fast paced. Don't feel like you have to read a book a week. If you just catch some of them, that's awesome. But we'd love to have you join us. The link to join will be in the show notes. So we'd love to have you come along and hang out with us in there. So, because there's a lot more of the country to left.
Exactly. We got miles to go.
We do. I'm looking forward to when we go to Hawaii. I think that'll be fun. So
yeah, there's a lot of good ones still on the list.
There's a lot of good ones. Yeah.
I'm always down for a road trip. So we're touring the country this year.
Yeah. And it's fun because it's inexpensive.
Right. Exactly.
Unlike some of my other road trips.
Don't have to spend as much gas money on this trip.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and doing the interview and being a wonderful host. And we will be back again next week with our next interview.
Yay. Can't wait.
Yeah. So thanks for coming along with us today, folks.
Thanks for joining me today. If you'd like to be part of the Read Across the U.S. Book Club, I'd love to have you join us. There is a link in the show notes. So just head down there and click, and we will welcome you in. So see you in the book club, I hope. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week with a new episode.